Some decisions are hard. What wine to order for dinner? Hard. Deciding whether or not to finally fix that bunker rake situation? Hard. Calling Club Capital Group to save your club thousands for free? Ridiculously easy. No fees, no switching vendors, no weird rebate loopholes, just instant savings on the stuff your club already buys. Visit clubcapitalgroup.com to set up a call with Zach McCarthy. Mention Private Club Radio for something special. Club Capital Group. Protecting your bottom line from subpar margins, one club at a time. If your club's website were a person, would it give a warm welcome or kind of just stand there awkwardly? Members First creates custom websites that feel like a five-star hello. Beautiful, smooth, and totally you. Not something off the rack. Want to see what's trending in the club space? Check out membersfirst.com/trends. That's membersfirst.com/trends. It's worth the scroll. Hey everybody, welcome to the Private Club Radio Show, where we give you the scoop on all things private golf and country clubs, from mastering leadership and management, food and beverage excellence, member engagement secrets, board governance, and everything in between, all while keeping it fun and light. Whether you're a club veteran, just getting your feet wet, or somewhere in the middle, you are in the right place. I'm your host, Denny Corby. Welcome to the show. In this episode, I am chatting with a great friend of the industry, another good human, a good human, Brian Langhorse, the CEO of Eustace Chairs. If you don't know Brian or Eustace Chairs, they make some of the most durable, amazing, and comfortable chairs available, all made here in the States. A truly fantastic product that, his chairs can be found in places like the Harvard Freshman Dining Hall, the New York Public Library, and clubs and spaces all over the country. He even saw some of his chairs in Fenway Park, which is really cool. But he and I have such a great, fun conversation. It's always a good time when he and I chat, always good energy. And to hear how much we hear about his story of how he went from working in real estate software to running literally the one of the most respected chair companies in the country, if not in the world. And we talk about what that journey was like and just how someone can have so much passion for chairs. It reminds me of almost Ron Swanson from a Parks and Rec episode with like the chair convention. But we have a lot of good laughs in this episode. We learn about him, his story, and what makes his chair so special. And what cracks me up is I had some, like, I don't want to say funny jokes for him or things that I just thought were funny, but there were actually so I asked him about, we talk about like, what's the average sit life? Like, is there tests that are done to measure how much like up and down sitting a chair can take? And I didn't expect a yes, but like there is. And we talk about that. We also learn about what Eustace chairs can and can't do. And we learn about just the cool customization and the cool types of chairs and things that Eustace does for their clients all over. And it's funny, you bring up perspective and bringing on different people and talking about different things. And there's little details that, of course, when we brought it up in conversation, you're like, oh, of course that makes sense. But when you don't think about it from like one perspective, one point of view, it makes sense. So for example, we talk about different chairs for different rooms and for different people. And if you have a card room that's primarily for older women who play bridge, that's going to be a different chair you're going to want to have in there than, say, if it's more used for a men's lounge poker room. Those chairs are going to be a different style, a different cushiness, a different support. So we talk about things you did not even think you needed to know about chairs. So pull up your favorite chair and listen in. In all seriousness, though, it is such a cool honor and pleasure to have him on to learn about him, his story, the Eustace story, the history, and how much just passion there is for chairs and for helping clubs and helping clubs get the best chairs possible for their members. And I hate to, there is an art to the chair, to getting the proper chair for your club. It's like almost silly to think about, but it's not, because it makes so much sense for how much people are going to be using them. And sometimes people don't put that much effort into things like that, but they should. So before we get to the episode, quick thank you to some of our show partners: Kennis Member Vetting, Golf Life Navigators, and Concert Golf Partners, as well as myself, the Denny Corby Experience. you want to learn more about having one of the most fun member event nights at your club, head on over to dennycorby.com. It's one of the most fun evenings your club is going to have, guaranteed. And while you're searching the interwebs, go to privateclubradio.com, sign up for the newsletter, because I will be releasing the club entertainment guide soon. Everything you need to know about putting on and having the best events possible. Early access to people who are on the newsletter, so make sure you sign up, privateclubradio.com. Enough about that. Listeners, get ready. This is such a fun episode, lots of good laughs, and you're going to learn more about chairs than you needed to know. Let's welcome to the channel, Mr. Brian Langhorst. How are you?
Great, man. Dealing with all the fun stuff in chair furniture world.
Now, do you get a lot of people who are going into the new year or looking at the new year now going, like, we got to spend some money, let's get some new chairs? Like, do you get a lot of like that? Like, okay, we got money to burn, you know?
Occasionally. There's like, you know, always the issues that pop up, like, one of the local clubs, they realized their boardroom chairs were like just kind of getting long in the tooth, not looking as sharp as they might like. And here you're talking about, you know, really nice club, really distinguished members, corporate leaders, whatever else. And like, you know, sitting in like the peeling, cracking chairs, like, ooh, that's not quite the level of hospitality that they're giving out everywhere else. But it's like that boardroom that's kind of tucked away.
Yep. Yep. I gotcha.
So yeah, occasionally there's that, but then it also rolls into like, oh, hey, we want to replace chairs, but then the committee kind of goes, well, what about the walls? What about the drapes? What about the carpets? And then all of a sudden they're like, whoa, 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 whoa. Okay, we need to kind of now go back and what are we doing here? Yeah. Are we actually going to go through a full renovation and spend, you know, $15 million, or are we just going to replace chairs for, $100,000 or something like that?
Yeah. Yeah. Now, is there like a, like, is there a, I don't know if threshold is the right word, but like how many times a butt is supposed to hit like a chair? Like, is there like a threshold of like, okay, hey, this chair is going to last about like 100,000 sits. Like, is there?
There is testing. Like, that is hilarious. That is absolutely, like, how many times can I like sit down on this, or like have a kid that's like jumping up and down?
Well, no, because to me, like, you know, A, because like I always go to like the funny, but also the B of, like, that would be a great selling to me. I would use that as like a selling point. But like, listen, oh, you like, you do like, you know, X amount of weddings or like, you know, so many events. But like, listen, this chair right here, 100,000 sits. Like, that's just like another
sits guaranteed.
100,000 asses guaranteed.
I love it.
But no, but like, oh, like sort of kidding, like sort of not. Like, is there like, but they, so like there is testing that's done about.
Oh, for sure. They have like, there's a testing lab and there's several around the country, and we kind of have our own little testing lab at the factory where they literally take a sandbag and, you know, fill it with like, you know, 200 pounds, 150 pounds, whatever. And they literally just drop it from, you know, 24 inches, 36 inches, and like plop, 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 and, you know, like rope back up again, plop it again, you know, so you can just cycle test it for as many cycles as you want. So it could be 100,000. We think our chairs are probably good for 250,000 sits.
That what's the chair rating? Just like there's ratings for tires and like other stuff. It's like what's the chair sit rating? Oh my god, that's so
sit
funny.
Rating. Do you have Z rated tires? Oh no, we have 200,000 sit tested chairs. Absolutely.
So how? I think you told me once, but how did you end up in the chair biz? Like, did you just wake up one day thinking like, the, you know what the world needs, better chairs, or was it more of a slow burn?
It was a very slow burn. and just like, you know, completely, you know, it's one of those like serendipitous things that you're like, you almost can't, like, whether it's fate, serendipity, God, you know, whatever, you know, pick your thing. You're like, it certainly wasn't on my plan. It wasn't like, okay, we're going to do this, then we do that, and then I'm going to go buy a chair company. It's like, oh, well, you know, I think the last company I worked at, I didn't even have a chair. So we had like standing desks on cinder blocks, and we were a real estate software startup. So we didn't have really, I think we had chairs in the boardroom and stuff like that, or like the meeting room, but definitely not at my desk. We were just,
yeah,
you know, stand up, calling, talking.
A great club is built on great people. And at Kennis Member Vetting, they make sure the right people get in. With their thorough verification process, it gives you the peace of mind that your club remains exclusive and safe. Protect your club, protect your legacy. Head on over to membervetting.com and start your vetting process with confidence. The future of your club depends on who you let in. Do you want your club to get in front of golfers who are ready to join? Golf Life Navigators helps you reach qualified, motivated members who are searching for their next golf lifestyle. It's time to match your club with the right people. Grow your membership today. Head on over to golflifenavigators.com. Say goodbye to member assessments. With Concert Golf Partners, boutique owner-operators of private golf and country clubs nationwide, they bring you the resources to help you elevate your club. Discover the potential at concertgolfpartners.com. Oh, and hey, real quick, if you or your club is looking for a really fun night of entertainment, reach out, dennycorby.com. So how'd you get in? Like, how did you find, because it was a family-owned business, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So Fred Eustace's father, Bill Eustace, started the company out of like nothing. And so he bought a factory out in western, kind of central Massachusetts, what used to be the hardwood chair capital of the country, in Ashburnham, Gardner, Massachusetts.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And so like they have a giant chair. And, you know, then I think the Nexus moved down to like North Carolina, which is kind of what everyone presumes is the hardwood chair capital of the country.
So
Bill Eustace started it in 1989. And then Fred bought it from his dad in the late 90s. And Fred's four daughters wanted nothing to do with the business. They're all, you know, great people. They're all, you know, lawyers, teachers, consultants, and then a sailing captain. So they're all doing their things, and nobody really was interested in chairs. Nobody caught the chair bug.
And at this point you were already working for them. Like, is that like, how'd you even get involved into it?
So we moved to Boston for my wife's grad school. She's a nurse practitioner at Children's here in Boston, and she was coming to get her, master's in nursing at Boston College. So we moved to Boston from Seattle in 2012, and I worked for this real estate software startup for 2 or 3 years there. And while I was doing that, there's this really cool group of business owners locally in New England called the CEO Roundtable. And the founder owner of my previous company was a member of that. And so is my brother's father-in-law. And in the crazy small world, up in Andover, Massachusetts, my sister-in-law babysat and was kind of the, you know, favorite babysitter, for Fred Eustace's four girls growing up in Andover. And so that's kind of this crazy small world. And so I was literally up at my brother's house for like a family dinner. And Dick Sundberg kind of was our matchmaker. And he's like, "Hey, I know you do websites for real estate brokerages. I know you can't help my friend, but at least maybe you could like tell him what he needs to know and give him a quick, you know, primer. He's got a website. He's had a website for a long time, but you know, he kind of needs to update it. Would you meet with him?" I'm like, "Oh yeah, sure. Absolutely." So I met with Fred at the Harvard Club of Boston, and we sat down for coffee and we're chatting for a while. And I looked, did a little bit of research. I was like, "Oh, that seems like a cool company." And I kind of gave him like a list of maybe 3 or 4 companies that could help him with his website and said, "Hey, here's what you need to look for. You should interview each of these companies and anybody else you feel like. And, you know, but it looks like you got a cool company, but good luck. Godspeed. You know, I'm off doing my real estate thing. I'll check you later. Let me know if you need anything." And so I didn't think anything about it after that meeting. It was great. You know, always nice to get together at the Harvard Club of Boston, because it's just, you know, what you think of as like quintessential Boston. And like Steve and his team there, they do just such an incredible job. Yeah, and then fast forward maybe a couple months later, I'm up at my brother's house again, and then Dick was like, "Hey, Brian, come here. I want to chat with you for a little bit." I was like, "Okay." He's like, "So it turns out there's more to the story than just replacing his website. He really needs help growing the business and you know, hopefully retiring. He needs somebody to buy him out." And I was like, "Who? What? Me? How am I going to do that? I don't have that kind of cash." Yeah. Like, so, but of course, you know, these deals aren't really cash deals. Maybe sometimes they are, but a lot of times it's this kind of slow transition and kind of, you know, handoff.
Yeah.
So that's, we kind of, I like to think that Fred and I dated, so to speak, for probably 6 months or a year, over lunch, dinner, you name it, and kind of seeing if, hey, if this is the right fit. But the more I thought about it, what Fred had built was really cool, in the sense that in my previous role selling real estate software and agent productivity tools, it's so fast changing that, you know, people are redoing their websites every year, two, three, maybe five at the very max. And so it's this very fleeting thing that, you know, like, okay, great. Or there's lots of industry consolidation. Compass is buying up seemingly every real estate brokerage they can. And it's challenging. I get it. But, you know, real estate's awesome. But that, you know, it was cool to go into Harvard's freshman dining hall that is just one of those truly magical places, with the soaring ceilings and wood paneling and all of these, you know, historical paintings and busts of famous Harvard alum. And you kind of go, wow. And those are our chairs that we installed in 1994 for 650 chairs that are all still there. And you kind of go, wow, okay, that's kind of cool that we can build something that can truly last. And we have a really better product. That's like, that was the biggest thing for me. Because I grew up, my mother's side of the family has a commercial cooking equipment company in Chicago, Keating of Chicago. And so I grew up going to trade shows in the restaurant industry. So I grew up going to NRA and NAFM and regional trade shows, yeah, and stuff like that. And my grandfather had invented, he didn't patent it fast enough, but he invented like the convection oven, essentially.
What?
Yeah. And so he was like, oh, hey, if we're making an oven, because they were making ovens and ranges and grill, like in like deep fat fryers, heat lamps, everything that would go in a commercial kitchen. And so he's like, hey, we can decrease the cook time if we just blow the radiant heat around a little bit better. And so we put a fan motor in the back. Pretty simple. But he was the first guy to do that. But wasn't able to patent it fast enough.
Oh.
But he did all kinds of things. And so his thing was always trying to build better. And so, you know, his thing and our like claim to fame in the kitchen world is that, Keating of Chicago deep fat fryer, when you drop a basket of French fries, the temperature goes way down really fast, 'cause you're putting in a whole bunch of frozen stuff usually, or maybe it's fresh cut,
yeah,
but either way, like a huge temperature differential. And so the temperature of the oil drops way down, and then that makes it cook longer. It has the cook time has to be longer. And so what my grandfather invented was a better way to kind of allow for more even heat distribution, so that you can cook fries faster and more evenly, to be more crispy. And so that's kind of the same thing that I was like, oh, this is kind of like what my grandfather had done in commercial kitchens. Fred and his dad kind of had done for chairs, that literally we had better chairs, that instead of every other chair kind of being built the old fashioned way and just kind of, that's good, we could do something way better that could be stackable, more functional, and also way more durable. So I was like, hey, yeah, absolutely. What's not to like about that? Like, this is a cool business. And yeah, we have this really awesome historical, you know, group of places we've installed chairs, But then there's so many people that have never heard of us, even today. Like, it's like we're still a little tiny company. So it's like, oh, wow, I can grow this. This is an awesome opportunity. So it kind of just made so much sense. I would have probably never forgiven myself if I didn't at least give it a try.
Yeah.
And so then fast forward to, like, you know, 2018, Fred and I closed, sent him into retirement. So he's off, you know, sailing, golfing, enjoying his club on the Cape as much as he can, and going to visit his grandchildren and his daughters, and, you know, travel with his wife and just enjoy being in your mid 70s. So it was great.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you spot your chairs? Like, can you go into almost any place and know if it's a use of shit? Like, are you that good?
Oh yeah. I mean, it's, you know, I got brainwashed, in the sense that it's like, oh my gosh, I'm definitely now the guy that goes into, like, Starbucks and be like, huh, who built this chair? Let me flip this thing over. Oh, what kind of chair glides do they have? You know, like, walk into this library, that place, and like, oh, ah, Shivari chairs. Ah, bane of my existence.
Now, when you, so now would you go into a place and you recognize one of your chairs? Is it like a proud papa moment? Is it like a, you know, like, is it like a seeing your kid on stage at, like, the school play? Or is it like, ah, I got you. We for here. Me,
absolutely.
Like, what's the.
So true. Oh my gosh. It is so kind of ridiculous. But like, my friend from college is, like, one of my best friends in the whole world. He's my best man in my wedding. He was in town. He works for the Seattle Seahawks in their press department. And so he was here when the Seahawks were playing the Patriots, and he has Saturday as an off day. And so we were doing a tour at Fenway, and, you know, we just paid regular kind of off the street. And so it was me and my wife and our two little girls and my buddy John taking a tour of Fenway. And it was kind of cool because they were setting up for the Pearl Jam show that was on the infield that next day on Sunday. Yeah. And it was like Sunday and Tuesday, I think, were the show days. But it's cool, like, they're rigging and, you know, getting the stage all set up and doing sound checks and stuff. And then we walk by the Dell EMC club, and, like, sure enough, my bar stool was, like, literally, like, just out, kind of, like, right in, like, the breezeway. And I was like, oh my gosh. And we're at the tail end of the line of, like, the tour as we're kind of going up to the press box behind home plate. And I was like, hey, girls, hey, quick, sit up in that chair really fast. And so both my girls, like, skibble up into the bar stool and whatever. And I'm, like, taking pictures, being like, oh, this is the best. So, yeah, seeing my honey, bar stools or chairs in the real world, they're like,
ah. Get a picture with me. And you're like, yeah, pointing at the chair.
Check out my bar stool. Yeah. But it is so ridiculous. But, yeah, it is. But it is really cool when you, like, walk into, like, a club like the club at Carlton Woods, that's just one of those amazing top tier clubs where they are just doing such an extravagant level of customer service and hospitality. Like, Steve Salzman, as you know, I mean, he's just amazing.
Yep.
And, like, the level of, like, just kind of, like, incremental, they're already, like, amazing, but he keeps on finding little ways to get better and better and better, and, like, bring in, like, that super master chef that there's only, like, 50 of in the whole entire world.
Yep.
And, you know, that's the guy that's, you know, making the wine dinner pairings and creating this beautiful cuisine. It's like you're going to 11 Madison Park with Danny and Will, but no, you're in Texas at Steve's place, living your best life.
Yeah.
But to walk into a place like that and see our chairs is always super special. It does kind of make you like, oh yeah, this is pretty cool. This is really special.
Yeah. And all your stuff is, like, it's all USA made here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. So everything gets made to order. So you get to, like, you know, kind of Goldilocks your chairs a little bit. Like, oh, this one's a little too big. This one's a little too small. Oh, this one's just right. So we kind of have a lot in that in our line of, like, okay, this one's 1 inch wider. This one's, you know, 1 inch smaller. This one's okay. Perfect. Okay. And we can also, like, change the amount of foam that we put in the cushion So like, hey, we want ours extra squishy. Actually, that's too squishy. We don't want that level of squish.
Now, do you ever have like where there's the squish where it has a sound? And how do you handle that? Like, do you have like, or is there fabrics like you don't use anymore? Or if have you found there's a certain fabric and like squish level that is just like not good? Like that combination just calls for like fart sounds.
I can't think of anything. I mean, there are some of like the faux leather vinyl. That's great because it's easily cleanable. It's durable. It's good for, years and years and years. But some of them are a little like squeaky, more of just like that. You're like, that's a little annoying. But so many of those manufacturers have done such an incredible job of like making really great stuff that you almost can't tell if it's real leather or not now.
Yeah.
In some of like the really high end vinyl companies, you're like, oh, wow, that's pretty impressive.
Have you ever had like a real wild request? Like we wanted to match our golf carts or like they want to do something like crazy.
We did have one pretty interesting one where they wanted us to send the chairs unfinished and unupholstered to Arizona. And it was going to this guy's private dining room for 24. I was like, wow, that's like, I can't even imagine the size of the table, but he was going to have the table company that was local in Arizona finish our chairs in the same finish as his table. And then he was getting some, fancy leather or something like that for his seats. And I was like, hey, that's cool.
That's pretty neat. You need more clients like that.
Yeah.
You do all the work.
You do all the work. We'll just build the chairs. You can finish them. You can upholster them. Off you go. Good luck.
The IKEA model. No.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh yeah, you could just build it yourself. Farfik Nugan, whatever.
Do you have a studio there, or like, do you send samples? Like, what if like a club is like interested and they're like, hey, we're torn between like these, like, do you have like shippable ready chairs? Do people come to you? Like how does that work?
Yeah. No, we have like a fleet of, I think it's 266 sample chairs that live in the old accounting office at the factory, and we just send them out. We usually like to send two if we can, because you can fit two side chairs in one box, so then it's not astronomical shipping.
Yeah.
And we don't lose tons of inventory, but we get it. Like a lot of clubs have board turnover. We had some sample chairs out there for like 2.5 years as the board kept on turning over. And then they got a new GM, and then the board turned over again and whatever. So I was like, yeah, just keep the sample chair. Don't lose it. But yeah, take your time. No rush. So yeah, we love to send out sample chairs because there's nothing like sitting in a chair and kind of going, oh, okay, how is this really going to feel in a long meeting, in a nice dinner? And, so many of the chairs out there are either really, really big. Like just the other day, a club called and was like, oh, yeah. We bought these chairs 5 years ago, and it was just like, we didn't see it first. And everyone, even some of the men, have to put a pillow behind their back because the chair is just too big. And you're like, oh, that's not really cool for a nice club.
Yeah.
To have your members kind of having to put like a little throw pillow behind your back so that you can be comfortable during dinner with your friends and getting together. And you're like, oh, yeah, I get that. So, we'll see. Hopefully we'll get some chairs for them that's the right size that aren't going to swallow them up.
Yeah. Is there like, there must be chair education then, like at that point? Cause I'm assuming for that same reason, people are like, oh, we like love these and want these. And you're probably like, you being the expert doing it so long, it's like, they might not be the best fit. Or, have you had a line? Do you have a line that after a little bit, it was just like, hey, this is just not a good fit. We're just going to not even offer it anymore.
I can't think, we don't have anything like that.
That's good.
Because all the things we release are very known to us and they've gone through a lot of testing. So we kind of are like,
sandbags.
This is, tried and true. And then we send it out so that we make sure that, like we've learned over the years, ladies cards, if you're playing Mahjong, bridge. And, you know, in the ladies' card rooms, those ladies are all really sitting forward and really super engaged. And so, like, card room chairs, it's not one size fits all. You kind of need to know the project, because ladies' cards, they're all sitting upright and kind of, you know, more engaged in their game.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, men's card rooms, completely the opposite. Those guys are, like, you know, holding their cards, sitting way back, hanging out, relaxing. And so they want a much more reclined chair that's kind of, like, able to, like, really give them a lot of, you know, lean back.
Yeah.
And so, you know, once we sent out sample chairs to a club in California, and the GM didn't specify whether it was ladies or men's cards. And sure enough, he ordered chairs. And this was for men's cards. And these were like member dining chairs. And the members were like, we can play cards in this. I can't lean back far enough. My buddy's going to see my cards. What the heck is this? And so, cool story. This is the only time we've ever resold our chairs. And Lynn LaFon DeLuca, the Wonder Woman, she got us in touch with the club at Pasadena, and sure enough, like, you know, they now have those chairs that just weren't the right fit. So that was like our one kind of like, oh shoot, yeah, we didn't ask enough questions, or the GM, you know, didn't know the question to ask or whatever, to know like, hey, ladies' card room, not the same as men's card room for sure.
Yeah, I did not. As soon as you even started going down that rabbit hole, I was like, I would not have even thought about that, like the different types of card room chairs and just those little bit of details. No, that all makes a huge difference.
Yeah. And also, I mean, even just like things like Fred Eustace is 6'2", and his wife Lisa is 5'3" or 5'4", something like that. And so, you know, you also want to have maybe lots of members sit test that sample chair, so that you know, hey, is it going to be comfortable for everybody, or are we just all catering to the demographics of the board, or the, you know, whoever's, you know, the house committee that might be choosing the chairs. Make sure you get a wide population of people that are testing it out, making sure that somebody that's, you know, 5'3" or 5'5" or 6'2", that they can all sit in the chair and it's all comfortable for them, because we can, you know, make the sitting height a little bit shorter, a little bit taller. So I could only imagine for probably like Michael Jordan's club in Florida, he might have people that are all tall. Maybe there's not a lot of short people at his club, because it's all, you know, maybe ex-basketballers and, you know, NFL guys and whatever else out there kind of taking each other's money. But I don't know. I mean, that's, who knows?
Yeah. I even think about that. Do clubs have, like, will they set up, like, will they put like a chair out front and say, hey, like, we're thinking about yeah, getting these, like, take it for a spin. Like, do they sometimes get like two or four and there's like a table set up and they can like test drive it for a meal or something? Like, do clubs do that? Like, is that like a thing?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, definitely. I mean, that's absolutely. And that's what we encourage them to do. Like, hey, yeah, you know, sit in a meeting in this chair, you know, eat in this chair, see if you like it, take it for a spin. Absolutely. So true, but it's just like, so, oh my gosh, like if you would have asked me 10 years ago or whatever, I guess, no, it was maybe about 10 years ago, if I would be like talking to Denny and Private Club Radio about sit testing chairs and whatever else, and seat height and foam density and all the other silly things, like what kind of world do you think this is? But yeah, that is the life in the chair world, that's for sure.
Do you ever have any clubs that are like way too excited about chairs? That it might challenge your level of excitement that you get from chairs?
No. I don't. I think, you know, understandably, I mean, I have so much profound respect for everyone in the club industry and the way that they handle, you know, all of the complexities of these clubs. You know, they're having, you know, record rounds, record membership levels, and doing an amazing job of creating hospitality and, you know, bringing on these amazing new young and up and coming people in the club industry. And so it's just so cool, but they have so much going on. So to see anybody have like crazy level of excitement of Cherisha, and like, I get it. You got a lot of stuff. You got to worry about pots and pans and carpet and, you know, go-karts and, you know, golf carts and all the other good stuff. And it's like, oh my gosh, yeah, like you just need to keep everything humming at that high level. So I can get that you might not get excited about this, that you just need new chairs and you want to keep moving on and have your members stop griping.
What is the superior chair? Like, what is your Rolls Royce of chair?
Well, there's two that come to mind. There's this one chair that's like one of those iconic chairs. So it in New York City, right off of Battery Park, there's the New York Public Library in Midtown. And it's that, you know, they have the two lions out front.
Yeah.
And then there's this amazing reading room called the Rose Reading Room. And it is just one of those jaw-dropping rooms with cathedral ceilings and beautiful paintings on the ceilings and skylights. And it's just, you walk in there and it's almost like going into, you know, Notre Dame or something like that, or a beautiful church where you're just like, wow, this is amazing. Like, I can't even imagine how long these craftspeople took to build this, and the marble and the, you know, granite and all the different like detail. And you're like, wow, it just makes you feel really small.
Yeah.
And kind of just like, wow. But they have these amazing chairs that have a lot of detail to them. That are kind of classic Beaux-Art style chairs. And we were lucky enough to be asked to replicate their chairs. And that chair is amazing, but it's, you know, very detailed, really comfortable, but it's, you know, super special, but it, you know, lots of steam bendings, lots of labor, material cost.
So you guys have your catalog, but you also do like custom work and whatever they really want. That is cool.
Yeah. So we've had a lot of clubs that have come to us and said, hey, this chair manufacturer, we have these chairs that are, you know, 100 years old, 50 years old. The manufacturer's long gone. We love these chairs. Can you make this chair stack? I'm like, sure. Absolutely. You know, here's what it's going to take. It's not, you know, like, we can't just whip it up in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It's going to probably be a year-long process of, you know, first drawing the chair up in CAD and like giving them a PDF to be like, hey, here's how it's going to look. Do you like that? And then they can say, oh, let's make it a little taller, shorter, wider, whatever. And then, hey, now we'll actually build up a real sample. And we have amazing craftsmen that can build up a sample chair. And that takes a couple of weeks. Once you actually get their attention, because a lot of times, you know, we have new chairs in production and whatever else. And so they're working on projects. And so it might be a 2 month queue of projects before the craftsman can really dive into that chair. And then we build that chair, send it out to the club, make sure that they like it. And then they say yes. And then all of a sudden, then we come back and, you know, build up that chair, great the fixtures and, you know, jigs and everything like that to shape the parts and machine the parts. And then off we go. So we've definitely done that, but it is, you know, a special project, and we're happy to do it, but it definitely costs a fair penny, and it definitely takes a little bit of time. But we definitely do that. So we've done, you know, Thomas Edison's workshop chair from his old lab in Bell Labs in New Jersey, that's now at in Dearborn at the Henry Ford Museum. And literally they have that same chair. And I think they had originally had that. That's the one that's at Harvard's freshman dining hall that we call the Edison chair. And so we've done that for Harvard. Rice University has those in one of their dining halls. Penn has them in one of their dining halls. And Bowdoin College has them in their dining hall. So it's super cool. So we have some of those chairs, like the New York Rose Reading Room chair and the Edison chair. So we have some replica chairs for sure. And then lots of other ones that have just kind of gotten created, you know, with working with general managers and their designers. Like, there's a really popular chair called the Council Room that we designed with one of the New England general managers and his interior designers and architects for the Yale Club of New York City. And they have one of their really cool rooms called the Council Room. And we said, hey, how cool would it be to have your own chair named after your kind of signature meeting room? So the Council Room chair got born for that. And then we created, we sent that chair down to the Park City Club in Dallas, which is a really cool spot. If you're ever down in Dallas, they're in the high rise up on like the 19th floor. And Harry and his team down there and Michael liked that chair and like, this is going to be perfect, but we need to make this thing 2 inches wider and 1 inch taller because it's Texas sized. So the Park City chair got born for the Park City Club in Dallas. And it truly is like a great chair that Texas sized, but now all of a sudden we have that chair in Ohio and down in Florida and all over the place. It's a great chair. So yeah, that's kind of more of what we'd end up doing is like, hey, take this chair and kind of make a little small modification, make this chair more decorative. Hey, like for Joe Bendy down at River Oaks, they really liked one of our stacking hardwood chairs that has a really neat design in the back. And he said, hey, could we do this with a ball and claw foot? And we said, absolutely. Here's 20 ball and claw foot options to choose from. And so now we have a River Oaks chair for Joe That's and his cool. team. Yeah.
What's like a, it's probably hard to say, but like, what's like the maybe average, like what's like the premium that people will pay for a, like a totally custom chair?
Oh, that's a good question. I'd say that probably or, a lot of it depends on like the custom, quantity.
I was going to say probably quantity and also the amount of detail. If it's taking something that you already do and have before and just want to change a few like cosmetic things, it's probably
That's a tricky one. It's a good question. So, yeah, I mean, that's, it's really easy to say, oh, yeah, hey, can you make this chair 1 inch taller? Yeah. We can do that. That's not a problem. That's pretty darn easy. Can you, put one more inch of foam in the seat? Absolutely. That's, we can do that in our sleep. What kind of operation of chairs do you have over there? You got a bar stool?
I have.
Or you have a standing desk? Really what are we working with over there?
This is probably, this is a way too old, like adjustable stool that's on like a ball almost.
So I
have a standing desk, so I'll sit or stand.
Yeah.
Kind of like back in your old days.
I want to wish you congratulations in person for your 400-umpteenth episodes. Like, I just like think it is so cool.
I want to thank you for coming on, keeping us keeping us on the edge of our seats. And
you are too kind, Denny. That was like right up my alley of like home run through the, over the Green Monster.
The Green Monster.
The Green Monster.
Yeah.
Yeah, sadly, we don't have any chairs because you can sit now on the Green Monster. And they're like really sought after tickets because you get a pretty cool view because you're like right by the pesky pole.
Yeah.
In Carlton Fisk fame and stuff like that. So they're cool seats. And then you can also kind of like turn around and like you can see like Boston and the Charles River and all that stuff. So it's kind of cool. Yeah. But yeah, we don't have any chairs there, just only in the private club levels. Yes. But that is definitely my dream, is to be able to watch a Red Sox game in one of my chairs or bar stools. So maybe someday we'll have to get you out here for that.
Ooh. Ooh, now we're talking.
Yeah, buddy.
I hope you all enjoyed that episode. I know I did. If you want to learn more about Eustace Chairs, link in the bio or head over to Eustace Chairs, eustacechair.com. If you've not done so already, sign up for the newsletter. Get early access to the up-and-coming Club Entertainment Guide. That's this episode. I'm your host, Denny Corby. Until next time, catch y'all on the flippity flip. Booking a tee time should be easy. Like, really easy. Members want to book and go. Staff wants everything to sync. Members First gets it. It's the only web-based tee sheet that fully connects to Jonas POS. No extra logins, just smooth sailings. Want to see it in action? head on over to membersfirst.com/tea. That's TEE. That's membersfirst.com/tea.